Chapter 76, Ground Control to Major Tomes. Early morning, 8 Uktar, 1492, Dale Reckoning. The air inside the Etherin prison infirmary did not just smell of smoke, it smelled of ancient dust being violently introduced to modern incendiaries. The reverberations of the initial explosion were still rattling the teeth of Sandy's gang as the dust settled, revealing the grim tactical reality of their situation. The rite of the Arcane Octad had been completed, but the celebration was cut short by the screech of metal on stone and the roar of amplified mania. From the darkened corridors of the prison, the threat emerged not as a horde, but as a siege. The Duergar of Clan Sunblight had not come merely to skirmish, they had come to burn the infection of the surface dwellers out of the glacier. Didn't know what time it was in your frozen hole. Oh, oh, you finished rites and paid the toll. Oh, oh, the voice of Davil Starsong echoed, projected by thaumaturgy and twisted by the acoustics of the crumbling stone. Some gnome was laying down a tragic soul, but now you'll lose control. Irax, the gold dragonborn paladin, shook the debris from his shoulders, his new, mismatched slard eye twitching in the gloom. Above them, through the shattered ceiling, the silhouette of a massive black crystalline dragon circled like a shark in a tank of gloom, but the immediate threat was terrestrial. Two figures blocked the hallways, looming out of the magical darkness like nightmares from an industrial age. These were no ordinary grey dwarves. They were Zaron, giant, chemically enhanced shock troopers of the Duergar. Standing 10 feet tall, they wielded massive flamethrowers connected to volatile tanks on their backs. The pilot lights sputtering with the promise of liquid stone-melting fire derived from fermentation of phosphorescent underdark mushrooms. Tuki's alchemical training helped him recognize the dangerous glowing fuel immediately. Their armor, nor the walls of the prison, would protect them.
"We need to move,"
Tuki Solpatar shouted, his voice muffled slightly by the gruesome elk face mask he still wore from the ritual. The gnome artificer's eyes darted between the towering enemies.
"Irax, take the west hall. Doug, you're with me."
Doug Woolwine, the draconic sorcerer now in his polar werebear form, was currently indisposed by a curse of rhythm. His feet tapped involuntarily, his hips swaying to the magically infused beat of Davil's bardic mockery.
"I can't stop,"
Doug roared, doing a pirouette while clutching his Vasavikin's greataxe. "The boogie is too strong."
"Improvise," Tuki barked.
He looked at the massive Zaron blocking the southern hall to the exit, the flamethrower nozzle glowing cherry red. "Doug, how much do you weigh?"
"Like 200 pounds.
Doug guessed over the roar of the pilot lights.
"Why?"
"Good enough," Tuki muttered. "Hold your breath." Tuki joined the dance and grabbed the sorcerer's denim-clad leg. With a twist of his cape of the Mountie Bank, the gnome cast Dimension Door as he dipped the bear sorcerer. The air folded in on itself with a sound like a tearing sheet. In an instant, the dancing sorcerer and the masked gnome vanished from their position and reappeared directly behind the towering Zaron. The physics of the teleportation were disorienting, depositing Doug mid-jig on the stone floor while Tuki materialized clinging to the back of the giant dwarf's armor. The Zaron, confused by the sudden disappearance of his targets, swung his flamethrower left and right, the fuel sloshing in the tank inches from Tuki's face.
"Engineering failure,"
Tuki whispered. He extended his enchanted creed of assassin's hidden blade and slashed the reinforced rubber of the fuel line, pocketing the enlarged, glowing blue fuel tank. The remaining alchemical fuel sprayed out in a fine mist, coating the dwarf's armor. The Zaron roared in confusion, turning to swat at the pest on his back. But Tuki was already moving. He leveled his newest acquisition, the Lantanese flintlock pistol he had purchased from Narl Gibrindus only hours ago. The inscription on the side, Raphael Adelini 1715, caught the flickering light as Tuki pulled the hammer back.
"Smile," the gnome said.
The boom of the black powder was deafening in the confined hallway. The shot took the Zaron under the helm at point-blank range. Between the kinetic impact and the spark igniting the leaking fuel vapor, the giant Duergar's helmet essentially became a containment vessel for a small explosion. The Zaron crumpled, his flamethrower clattering uselessly to the floor as his headless body slumped against the wall. More Duergar appeared from the nearby halls and cells. Tuki and Doug heard the call of Davil from the skies outside.
"Siraj,
keep your hunter's eye on them, babe. Put your arrow through their heads." Two black arrows sailed through an open prison cell window, ricocheting off the floor before angling towards them, missing Tuki and Doug's heads by inches.
Across the prison, Herax was engaged in a more aerial form of violence. Binger, up! He commanded. The celestial battlecat roared and launched into the air as Folrecht Lafine and Solyun Shibrindas peppered the oncoming Duergar with crossbow bolts. Herax drew his holy avenger, the blade instantly bursting with radiant sunlight that cut through the magical darkness created by their drow allies. Herax flew straight at the second Zaron on the western flank. The Duergar unleashed a stream of liquid fire, but Bingja banked hard, the flames licking at the paladin's boots. Herax leaped from the saddle in mid-air, the whisperweb scabbard silencing the draw of his blade until the moment of impact. Surprise! Herax growled, bringing the sword down in a glowing arc. The blade sheared through the nozzle of the flamethrower and continued through the chardelin plate of the dwarf's shoulder. Divine smite energy poured into the wound, searing the Duergar's flesh with holy fire. The giant staggered, swiping blindly with a massive fist. But Herax was already moving, using the momentum of his landing to sever the creature's leg tendons. The Zaron fell with a seismic thud, dead before he hit the ground. However, the victory was punctuated by pain. From the shadows of a nearby cell, a Duergar assassin lunged, a blade coated in black venom finding a gap in Herax's armor. The paladin grunted as the poison coursed through him, his vision swimming, his limbs feeling suddenly heavy. His momentum slowed just as the Duergar's flamethrower detonated, taking out the remaining nearby Duergar and tossing Herax forward into a roll. Cheap shot, Herax wheezed, stumbling back. He clutched the Holy Avenger. Channeling the last of his second-tier magical reserves, he cast a lesser restoration, purging the toxin from his blood in a flash of gold light. Back in the southern prison corridor, another Zaron appeared and leveled its flamethrower at Oyaminartok and Aldogo. The fire forced Oyaminartok to retreat back towards Velin's position in the infirmary, but the Dug's old dog, an unholy chimera of Owl Pacino and Doggo, still possessed the latter's peculiar infernal immunity to fire and the canine katana. The Aldogo took flight, hurtling through the flamethrower's gout of fire katana clutched in its beak. It landed on the other side near Dug and Tuki, just as Zaron exploded, taking out another chunk of wall and ceiling. Above them, the sky screamed again. There's a star song waiting in the sky. I'd like to come and burn you, but I think I'd blow your minds. Davil's voice sang out, the lyrics weaving a spell of impending doom. There's a star song waiting in the sky. Manshun's told me not to blow it because he knows you're gonna die. He told me let the Duergar lose it. Let the big dwarves use it. Let all the Duergar boogie.
He's circling back!
Krebig Maskelir shouted from the shadows. Narl shouted over the noise of battle, pulling Kingsport the chimeric penguin back into the portable hole shop.
It's time to go! Bregendareth isn't in the business of fighting dragons head-on!
The drow wizard flung a witch bolt at two Duergar swarming the upper gantries, but his eyes were fixed on the gaping hole in the roof.
That isn't a normal dragon! Get out of here! Get to the tower and blow that whistle when you guys deactivate the spire's wall of force!
I don't think we should try to fight these guys here. Then, Narl and the rest of his drow mercenaries ducked into the globe of darkness and disappeared. Sandy's gang needed a plan and an exit strategy. Dug Woolwine, shaking the dust from his jorts of the Golden Age, looked up at the distant, approaching beast through the cracked ceiling. He felt a pull, a resonance deep within his draconic bloodline. The dragon's foresight activated, vibrating in his skull like a tuning fork. I'm going in, Dug muttered, his glowing gold eyes rolling back into his head. Suddenly Dug was no longer in the burning prison. He stood in the room of doors, the metaphysical representation of his mind's connection to the draconic multiverse. He saw the platinum-streaked door representing the egg he carried, but turned his mind to the next, more menacing portal. Before him stood a door of black iron, veined with cracks of burning red magma. He could feel the entity on the other side, a furnace of hatred and programmed obedience. Dug pushed the door open. His perspective shifted violently. He was soaring high above the ruined city of Aethryn, the wind rushing past his ears. He saw the prison below, a small, broken box of stone. He saw his own friends, tiny specks in the rubble. He was looking through the eyes of the dragon. The mind of the creature was a chaotic storm. It was not a natural beast. It was a construct of metal and magic, bound by a soul that screamed in constant agony. But through the noise, Dug felt a recognition. The dragon knew them. The hatred wasn't the instinctual hunger of a predator. It was the specific, burning vendetta of a creature wronged. At the same time, the axe in Doug's hand awakened to the sound and fury of the draconic foe, the Frost Giant weapon's ancient enemy. The axe communicated a series of images telepathically to the Eldritch Knight. Doug saw the axe in the grip of the Frost Giant Queen Vasavikan as she flew into battle against the white dragons in the frozen north. The axe hadn't tasted dragon blood in many centuries, and clearly wanted a piece. However, Doug could feel its lament as the sentient, magically resizing weapon knew it was too small to do what it could do in the hands of a giant. The flashing imagery distracted Doug from the song he could now hear cleanly from the dragon's rider, Davil. There's a dragon waiting in the sky. He'd like to melt your armor, and he thinks you're gonna fry. There's a dragon waiting in the sky. He knows you're about to blow it, so kiss your jorts goodbye. The ceiling of the prison dissolved. A column of searing white light, a breath weapon of pure radiant energy, blasted downward, vaporizing the stone masonry and incinerating the corpses of the fallen Duergar. The party scrambled for cover as the shockwave threw them against the walls. Doug gathered himself back up, re-establishing the connection. I see you, Doug whispered, projecting his will back through the psychic link. Inside the dragon's mind, Doug planted his feet and stared back. He didn't use magic. He used the sheer, unadulterated arrogance of a sorcerer who wore denim into battle. He projected an image of himself, massive and unimpressed, staring down the mechanical beast. We killed you once, the thought echoed. We'll break you again. The dragon faltered in the air, its wings missing a beat. The psychic backlash of Doug's intimidation rippled through the bond. The beast roared, shaking its head to clear the intrusion, and banked away, breaking its next attack run. Is it leaving? Tuki asked. Why? I gave it the look, Doug gasped, snapping back to his own body. But it won't stay gone. We need to move. Now. The roof, Velin Harpel rasped, clutching her side where shrapnel had struck her. The streets are a kill zone. You must get to the spire via the rooftops. The arcane Brotherhood mage grabbed Oya Minartok and cast her own dimension door, pulling the Goliath warrior through. The rest of the party abandoned the ruined infirmary, leaving behind the carnage and the still-burning piles of ancient medical texts. They scrambled up the spiral stairs, emerging into the biting cold of the red glacier's interior. Delnis scooped up Tardy on his way as he pulled up the rear. The view was apocalyptic. The city of Aetherin, once a jewel of Netheril frozen in time, was now ablaze. The radiant breath of the dragon had ignited fires that defied the cold, burning structures that had stood for thousands of years. But the true tragedy hit them as they looked down into the courtyards below. The great library, which they had visited earlier, had been cracked open like an egg. Thousands of books, scrolls, and tomes, irreplaceable knowledge from the age of floating cities, were being consumed by the flames. The smell of burning vellum and melting ink hung heavy over the necropolis. All those books, Irax mourned, pausing for a moment. I didn't even get to pretend I was going to read them. Eyes up, paladin! Tuki shouted. From a tower across the gap, about 150 feet away, a glint of metal flashed. Thwip! A black arrow, forged of Shardalin, slammed into Hirax's pauldron. The force of the impact spun the dragonborn around. It was Ziraj, the hunter of the Doom Raiders, sniping from a fortified position. He's behind cover! Hirax yelled, ripping the arrow out. I can't get a clear line for a spell! We need to close the gap, Tuki assessed, looking at the chasm between their roof and Ziraj's tower. It was a 40-foot drop to the burning streets below, where Johnny Five, Tuki's iron golem, was currently lumbering through the debris, trying to keep pace with his master. I have an idea, Tuki said. He reached to his belt and unspooled his hookshot, a retrieval device he had tinkered with endlessly during their downtime. Cover me. Tuki didn't wait for confirmation. He sprinted toward the edge of the roof. Johnny, catch me if I fall! He screamed to the golem below. Johnny Five's lantern head swiveled up, the optical sensors widening. Input! The golem blared, raising its massive metal arms. Tuki leaped. Mid-air, he fired the hookshot. The grappling claw soared across the gap, biting deep into the gargoyle perched on Ziraj's tower. The chain went taut. Tuki swung like a pendulum, a small bearded wrecking ball flying over the burning alleyway. He slammed into the side of the tower, boots scrabbling for purchase on the icy stone. He disconnected the hook, flipping himself onto the parapet with a roll. He was now on the enemy's flank, though Ziraj had ducked back into the shadows of the turret. Show off, Doug muttered from the prison roof. My turn. The sorcerer looked at the daunting gap. He looked at his ring of the Grammarian, the chaotic artifact that allowed him to alter the very letters of a spell. He focused on his cantrip, Ray of Frost, I changed the R to a W, Doug declared, his voice echoing with arcane power. I cast Way of Frost. He pointed his finger not at an enemy, but at the air itself. A beam of cold energy erupted, but instead of a blast, it solidified into a shimmering, 60-foot translucent bridge of solid ice. It was a slide slick and fast, curving gracefully over the fires below and connecting to the ground more than halfway to the central spire entrance. Surf's up, Doug grinned. He jumped onto the ice slide, his jorts of the Golden Age reducing friction to zero. He careened down the frozen path, arms wide, whooping as he slid past the flames and landed perfectly on the ground beside the next tower. That is undeniably cool, Herax admitted. He hopped onto Binger's back. The Celestial Cat took a running start and glided alongside the ice slide, carrying the heavy paladin across the gap while Delnis followed Doug down the slide, his heavy armor clanking against the ice like a chaotic bobsled. They regrouped, weapons drawn, expecting Ziraj to be waiting. But the hunter had retreated higher into the spire, giving ground. More Duergar appeared from the nearby rooftops, brandishing heavy crossbows. The sound of heavy mechanical wings beating against the wind returned. The black dragon rose from beneath the cloud layer of the city, hovering level with their position. Its chest glowed with that sickly, radiant light, charging for another volley. A voice boomed out, not Davil's singing, and not the dragon's roar. It was a voice they knew, a voice they hated. I warned you, Sandy's gang, the voice of Manshun projected, magnified by high-level magic. You crossed me. I gave you an offer, and you declined. The dragon hovered closer, its faceted eyes rotating and clicking as they focused on the party. The Duergar work for me now, Manshun's voice sneered, just like everyone will. Even your old foe, Dexamethasone. The party froze. Dexamethasone. The red dragon they had defeated in the Vault of Dragons. The dragon whose death they had tried, and failed to avoid, due to the treachery of both the imprisoned ancient Aboleth Golor and the rogue drow Jarlaxle. I used its heart, Manshun continued, the glee in his voice palpable. And the exquisite craftsmanship of the Duergar to create my ultimate weapon. My masterpiece. The dragon's chest plates shifted, revealing a pulsing core of biological matter fused with Chardalin machinery. It wasn't just a battery, it was an organ. A dragon heart, beaten back into life by necromancy and engineering. Behold, Manshun roared. Mecha Dexamethasone, and it will be your doom.
I think I'm gonna need a bigger axe,
Doug shouted as the radiant glow in Mecha Dexamethasone's throat reached critical mass. The beam fired,